بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ٹائٹل از آپ کا ذکر دو جہاں میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں. دوستوں یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں. دوستوں یہ شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں. غر نسل لے اللہ ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا ہو فغاں میں. غر نسل لے اللہ ہو زباں پر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کیا اثر ہوگا ہو فغاں میں. ورفانا کا انعام یہ ہے آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. ورفانا کا انعام یہ ہے آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. شرط توحید کا مل یہی ہے عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں. شرط توحید کا مل یہی ہے عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں. کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں. کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں. سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو وہ بنا جائے کس گلستاں میں. سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو وہ بنا جائے کس گلستاں میں. نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامع. نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامع. یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں. یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں. کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زبان میں. کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زبان میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم. اما بعد, this beautiful poem of our dada shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab rahmatullah alayhi regarding the great virtue and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more we understand who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, We understand his status, his kamalat and perfections. Automatically our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will increase. And just by having love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically the desire to follow sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come into our hearts. It will become easy to practice upon them. And our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase also. So the easiest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to go through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no other way. Anybody decides to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his, in any other manner besides through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will lead himself to destruction. The only way which is right, rightful, and which will take a person to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the lifestyle, the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to understand his status, his maqam, and we have to keep thinking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading books on his sirat, on his life, then automatically this love will increase in a person. Daily reciting the rule and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love will increase. And then when this relationship is there, inshallah, to practice on deen becomes easy for a person also. Because now he's got love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, in one school once in England, they had a survey. And they asked all the youngsters, who is your role model in life? And 97%, 97 out of the 100 children, they gave some other role model. Only 3, it is a Muslim school, only 3 said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 97, they said film star, one sports player, different people, they said, this is my role model. And there is only 3 people said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to bring this in our lives, in the lives of our children also, to understand that who our role model is, our guide, the greatest of mankind, Allah Ta'ala's beloved, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat is mentioning here that in both the worlds, your zikr is found on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aapka martaba is jahan mein jaise khursh ki ho asman hai. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your status in this world is like the sun in the heavens. That is, some ulama have beautifully mentioned that all Adam bi alayhi salatu wa sallam like stars. And a star, you need a star for guidance, especially those who are in the ocean. They use the stars for guidance. So the Adam bi alayhi salatu wa sallam came for certain time and they guided the people. But once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, now all the other stars went into oblivion. No one could actually see the other stars. Because now the sun has come out. So what is the need for any other stars? Now you've got the sun. You've got Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So your status on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like the sun, which is in the heavens. That is why once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he came in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was reading one kitab, reading one book. It was the Torah. And there were some good things he was reading inside there, which showed about the beauty of Islam also. So he brought it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started reading it in the majlis and gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face turned red. He was very, very upset. So Umar radiallahu anhu did not realize. He continued reading it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Umar, may your mother cry over you. That can't you see the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how red it has become?" So Umar radiallahu anhu looked up and he got a shock. And he said, "I seek Allah's protection from the anger of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become angry with me." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that even if Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam had to come down now from the heavens, there would be no other way for him to follow except my way. Even if he had to come now as a Nabi of Allah, he could not follow his own Shariat. All the Shariats have come to an end, they have terminated. It is only my tariqah, only my way now, which remains till the day of Qiyamah. So this is a beautiful lifestyle which we have got of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the reality of this. Today, unfortunately, many people read books. Hazrat mentioned it also quite a bit recently that in province, there's some books have come out and they got all funny names. They don't call it the Zabur, they call it the Zahur. And inside there, they got ayat of Quran and they got some Durul Sharif beside before that. They encourage you to read the Durul Sharif. You start reading Durul Sharif, then they go to the next level. And before a person knows it, he loses his iman also. So in a dini guise, outwardly it's a very, very nice thing, it's a dini guise, and encourage people to do certain things. The person is doing those things, then they show you, go to this book, read this book here, and it's kufriyat. The person loses his iman because of the day. So Allah protect and save us. We've got the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat says, "Dosto, ye shehr Madina, jisse Islam fela jahan mein." Oh my friends, this is the city of Medina Sharif, from by which Islam spread in the whole world. The Mubarak city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Ansar especially, who were prepared to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what love they had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read an incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of gush he made. 3 years he went in the time of Hajj and asked different people, who is prepared to take me and look after me and protect me, and so that Islam can spread from your area.
And different tribes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some were interested, some were disinclined. But eventually the people of Medina, Allah had chosen them. They said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, we want you. And we are prepared to take you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle wasn't a Muslim at that time still. But he had a lot of love for him. So he came, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I want to meet these people also." So he also came. So he told the people, "You know what, you people, it mustn't be that you'll stay. I'm going to look after him. And tomorrow you'll turn away like cowards and you'll leave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lurch." So the Ansar got very, very upset. They say, "You people, you're living with him and you're not prepared to look after him properly. How much of zulam and oppression is taking place on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You haven't looked after him. And now you're coming and telling us that here, we are prepared. We are leaving or breaking our family ties. Because in Medina Sharif, we had some other family, whatever. Those who are not accepted Islam, we are breaking that. The connection we have with the Jews in Medina Sharif, we are breaking that. Everything for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody fights him, we're prepared to sacrifice our lives." Because before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved to Medina Sharif. So what sacrifice they made. And then in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says about them that وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, before the Muhajirin even came to Medina Sharif, they already built the place that this will be Darul Islam. They fortified the Iman. And يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجِرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, they loved those people who made hijrah towards them. Today we get xenophobic attacks. People are not happy. Somebody else, the foreigners are coming into their country. Just one example of ulama say you'll never find in the history of mankind where the people are so excited that these people are coming to us. And normally when people come, then the people get angry, our jobs are getting lost, and this is happening, this is happening. Sahaba radiallahu anhu Ansar, yuhibbuna, they loved the people who made hijrah towards them. And they went to them, and we know the stories. "I'll give you half of my wealth, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you that." They were happy. Yuhibbuna man hajira ilayhim, wa la yajiduna fi sudurihim hajatan mimma utu. Whatever the muhajirin were given after the death, the Ansar did not find anything in their hearts regarding that. A certain battle took place. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called all the Ansar together and told them, "See, you looked after the Muhajirin so much. So if you want now, what we will do is, whatever you have given the Muhajirin, we'll give you back. Everything we'll give you back. And whatever booty we got in this battle, I'll only give it to you all. I'll give it to the Muhajirin, if you don't mind. We'll give it to the Muhajirin. So there won't be a burden upon you people. And now they can also live comfortably. You can live comfortably." So the Ansar stood up and he said, No, Nabi of Allah, we don't want like that. Whatever portion you want to give the Ansar now from the Muhajirin from this battle here, give all of it to them. And whatever we have given them, we don't want nothing back also. How many persons say, "What a wonderful, I'm getting that thing back also." They said, "No, we don't want anything. Whatever you are giving them, we're not feeling any jealousy in our hearts. We are happy that they are getting it." Where you get people of these qualities? "Wala yajiduna fi sudurihim hajatan mimma utu. Wa yu'thiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa." And they give preference to other people, especially muhajirin, even though they had to undergo poverty. We normally read in Fazail al-Amal, one story of the Sahabi at night. But is that one story? Fitabitab rahmatullah in Marif Quran, about 5 or 6 incidents he mentions. It was a normal quality of Sahaba radiallahu anhu to give preference to other people over themselves. So what qualities they had within themselves, that is why Islam, Allah Ta'ala used Medina Sharif and Islam spread through there. And ulama say another deep point is that the Muhajirin, when Allah Ta'ala gave them wealth thereafter, whatever money they had taken from the Ansar, they went and paid it back also. It wasn't that they now, okay, we took benefit from these people and finished. But whatever money they earned thereafter, they made hisab of the day, and they went back and they gave it to the Ansar, that you people helped and assisted us as a hadiah from our side, we are giving you these things back. So these are the qualities within those people. Allah give us a glimpse of that. Then Hazrat says, "Gar na salli ala ho zuban par, kya asar hoga aur fuga mein." If a person doesn't recite the surut, salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will be the effect in a person's duas? Because in dua, when durood sharif is recited, then duas become readily accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat gives a beautiful example of a boat, a big ship you got. Now for the ship to come onto the ocean, you need a small tugboat. The boat is very, very small. But otherwise the big ship cannot come into the ocean. Or the plane is so huge. But for it to come onto the runway, it has a small car, which pushes it and brings it onto the runway. So similarly, the Durood Sharif might seem very, very small, but it has got all the power within it. So the huge ship of all other amal is accepted because of the barakat of Durood Sharif. It is mentioned about Hazrat Mawlana Masoola rahmatullah alayh. When he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and they asked him, "How did it go with you?" And he was a very great wali. We all know Mawlana Masoola rahmatullah alayh, what a great wali of Allah he was. He said, "Through the barakat of Durood Sharif, Allah made all my work easy." So he's such a great wali of Allah, what work in khidmat of deen he did. But he also said, "Through the barakat of Durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all my work was done." So Allah gave us tawfiq that daily we take out some time to recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat says, "Ya wa rafa'na ka in'am ye hai, ki aapka zikr hai do jahan mein." Allah Ta'ala granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many, many gifts. One gift Allah Ta'ala granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the Quran. Allah says, "Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak." O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we raise your position in this world. So this, as I mentioned, that the tafsir of this year, normally the tafsir we get of Bayzawi and Jalalain and all these other kitabs, but this tafsir of this ayat was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they asked the tafsir, what is the tafsir of Rafa'ana alaka dhikrak? So Allah ta'ala said in the hadith of Qudsi, that when I mention, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be mentioned together with me. And that is why we see whether it is adhan early in the morning, the iqamah is given from the starting of the morning till the evening in our salat, when we are reading the salat and namaz also, at-tahiyyat is read, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad is read. When we are making dua, we recite, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. In the adhan, we say, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, we say, Ashadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. In the iqamah also. And in throughout the world, every moment adhans are taking place. So all the time, Allah's name is being raised, and the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being raised. And then together with this, as it says, from birth to death, when a child is born, he comes in the world, we give adhan in the right ear, iqamah in the left ear. When a person is leaving this world, we are burying him before the janazah salat, person is reading subhanakallahumma, first the praises of Allah, durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we are burying the person, bismillahi wa ala millati rasulillah, the name of Allah, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how Allah ta'ala has raised the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, we have raised your name in this world, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the benefit of this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in both the worlds he's mentioned. Allah gives honor and respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the amazing thing also with this, the ulama say, is that how Allah Ta'ala protected the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you study the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Masiyyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi wrote a ajib kitab about, it was actually a bayan he gave, Khutubat Madras. And in there he spoke about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, different aspects of his life. At one point he mentioned, which has also quoted once, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like your own father. If I ask you, your father when you woke up in the morning, what dua he read when you woke up in the morning? You say, I don't know, what breakfast your father used to have every day? He said, 20 years I lived with my father, but I don't know. But in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up in the morning, what dua he read, he found in the kitab of hadith. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to relieve himself in the toilet, how he relieved himself, no one can see somebody going in the toilet. But we even got that information, how Allah raised the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even how he relieved himself, how he performed salat, how he read tahajjud namaz, intimate moments with his wife, all of this Allah ta'ala preserved in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor it is that we are the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have got this year. And Allah Masih Sulaiman Nadwi mentions now, he says, look at all the people of the past. You look at the Jews and the Christians. You ask them to give you one statement from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which Musa alayhi salam said, and it's proven definitely that Musa alayhi salam said this year. You won't get one statement of the Jews, one statement of the Christians, of the Buddhists, nobody, where they can prove that this statement was said by Musa alayhi salam, said by Isa alayhi salam. But from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we got very, very strong proof to say that this was, you got sanad and chain. Right from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know every person in the chain. This person was like this, this person was like this, this person was like this. These were the qualities of this person. Was he a liar? Did he ever speak a lie in his life? Every person. What a khidmat Allah ta'ala took to raise the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the world. So Allah promised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name will be raised. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. Shart-e tawheed kamil yahi hai. Ishq ho aapka qalb ho jaan mein. The condition of kamil tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if a person really says, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there has to be Muhammadur Rasulullah. You have to have love for Allah, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a person's heart and in a person's body. Then Hazrat says, koi sam jega kiya ghair mumkin, aapka rutba dono jahan mein. If any person wants to understand the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is impossible to understand the high, lofty status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We try our utmost, how much we want to understand it, but we can never ever understand the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Hazrat says, sabz gumbat pe jiski nazar ho, wo balaye jaye kis gulistan mein. The person who is in front of Rauza-e Mubarak and is looking at the green dome, only he can understand that what a garden he is in, how much of enjoyment he is getting. This obviously depends on how much of love he has got for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As our Buzrugs mentioned, for example, you got love, you are getting married to a certain person, now you automatically in your heart you got some love for that person. Normally it's haram love. People go now, they want to see this girl, see the person. Or say you made your nikah already and you haven't made rukhsati as yet. So you go past the house now and just looking outside the house, how much of enjoyment a person gets just looking at that house, because he's got some connection with it. But so if a person has got connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a person just to stand there, he'll be obviously in a garden, in a beautiful garden, getting great, great enjoyment. And then we can understand our Buzrugani deen, But the Shaykh Rahmatullah used to go 4 hours, 5 hours in front of Rauza in Mubarak. And he would just sit and cry there. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. When Yusuf Mutala writes, he says in one bayan, we took him there. 8 o'clock in every morning, 8 o'clock in the morning we'll take him. Hazrat Shaykh will start crying. 3 hours, 4 hours later we will come back, he's still sitting and crying in the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sending salawat and durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What and what feelings he must have had at that time. What a garden these people must have been in. What enjoyment they were getting. What closeness and affection they had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us a small glimpse of that day also. Then Hazrat says, Naam kaisa hai piyara Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, jin ke sadaqe mein iman hai jaame. What a wonderful name yours is, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through whose barakat we have got iman in our lives. And the miraculousness of this name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also is amazing. That the name which is found the most in the world is the name of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Muhammad means the one who is praised in great abundance, Muhammad. And similarly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's other name is Ahmad. Ahmad can either mean the one who praises in great abundance, or the one who is also praised in great abundance. Both meanings you can have. And Muhammad is the one who is definitely praised in great abundance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is praised. No one else in the world is praised as much as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If every ummati is reciting his salat, whichever ummati are reciting, they are sending durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You ask a Christian, in a whole 24 hours, how many times you remember Jesus, Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam? Maybe the only once a week they might remember him on a Sunday when they go to the church. Otherwise they've got no real contact with him. But a Muslim, even if he doesn't take our time to read Durood Sharif, which we should be taking our time, but if he's performing Salat, our 5 times for a Salat, the Witr Salat, then our Sunnat and Nafal Namazah, so minimum, about 20 times a day a person is reciting Durood and Salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it comes in a Hadith, 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, person recites Durood, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will intercede on behalf of this person. Inshallah, by means of this also, we are performing our Fara Salat, our Nafal Salat, person will get the reward also. Once, there's a Masala, that after the second Rakat, in our Faraz Namaz, Sunnat Muqaddah Namaz, and Witr Namaz also, if a person must not recite Durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we do so, we have to make Sajjah, so, we're not supposed to read Durood Sharif upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Nafal Namaz, no problem, you can read Durood also, and you can read till the ending and then stand up and continue your Salat also, there's no problem there. Some ulama actually is more virtuous in Nafal Namazes to read the Durood and the Dua also, and then stand up and continue your Salat. But in Faraz Namaz, in Witr Namaz, in Sunnat Muqaddah, we can't recite Salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Masala is now, you must make Sajjah itself. If you read the Durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so it's mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him that, Imam Sahib, that your Masala is this here, that a person who recites Durood upon me, you are actually making him make Sajjah Sawu for the day. I mean, he's reading Durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you should make Sajjah Sawu for this year. Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alaihi said, O Nabi of Allah, I'm not making them make the Masala, I'm not making them make Sajjah Sawu because of reciting Durood. I'm making them make Sajjah Sawu because they recited the Durood in Ghaflat, unmindfulness. They weren't supposed to recite Durood at that time, and they recited Durood at that time. That is why they must make Sajjah Sawu at that moment. So don't read it in the wrong time also. Like Imam Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Bareilvis made a very big issue about him. So Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, it's bidah to say Muhammadur Rasulullah. So when he asked Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, no. Somebody asked me the fatwa. That in Adhan, after Adhan to say La ilaha illallah, can you say Muhammadur Rasulullah? So I say it's bidah to say it too. Because that's not the place for in the Adhan to add something else to the Adhan. So they took out that fatwa of his and they said, see, Hazrat Gangohi says to say Muhammadur Rasulullah is bidah. So the wrong place a person is reciting it. So a person cannot do so. Even regarding the Durood Sharif also, some places the ulama say is makruh to recite salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A person has to abstain from it in those places. Then finally, as I say, yeh hai fezan noor e nabuwat, jo hai Islam sare jahan mein, the faith and the barakat of the noor of nabuwat, that Islam is found in the whole world. What a miracle it is. Wherever a person goes in the world, and he sees a person performing salat, the same salat which is read in South Africa, is read in this country, there might be slight differences, but qiyam, ruku, sajda, attahiyat, in the whole world, the same Quran Sharif is being recited, same wudu is made, same fasting in the month of Ramadan. What a miracle it is. And there was no communication systems in those zamanas in that time. It was simple, word to word, mouth to mouth, and Islam spread in the whole world. This is a clear miracle that Islam is a true religion, that Allah Ta'ala has spread it. And the amazing thing, 1400 years later, we know with our yaqeen that the same namaz, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read, we are reading the same namaz. It comes in the kitab, and we know exactly how they read, we are reading it. So how Islam has been protected? This is the faith of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, many people have started a certain organization, certain ways. Within 20 years, 30 years, the whole thing changed. Yeah, sometimes, whatever the person started off with, it completely changed eventually. But Islam, exactly how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to us, we've got the same Islam within ourselves. And then Hazrat says, Kya kahu rafate shane gumbat, kuch nahi dam hai akhtar zabame. What can we say about the high rank of the green dome of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the high rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat says, on our tongue, we do not have any ability and capability to say anything regarding this, how lofty and great it is. May Allah give within ourselves, bring us the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give us tawfiq to follow in his sunnah, and to make, to recite durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in great abundance.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadil ladhin astafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. وقال تعالى إذا إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected elders and friends, we can't make enough shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the gift of life. And more valuable than life is Iman. Iman is more valuable than a person's life also. And thus we learn from the Qur'an-i Kareem in Suratul Kahf. And as we have learned from our elders, in this zamana particularly, a person should make it part of his life to recite Surah Kahf. At least on Jummah evening or the day of Jummah. And now ulama have explained that we are living in a time of so much fitna that the iman is being attacked directly. So in this time and age, try and read Surah Kahf daily if you can. And if we can't read the whole surah daily, at least read the first 10 ayats, the last 10 ayats daily. Because this is that surah that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the surah will protect us from all fitna and it will protect us from all the severities of the day of Qiyamah. So a person should make an effort and be concerned. So in this surah, one of the aspects that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam learned on his journey with Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, when they passed by a young handsome boy and Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam wring the neck of that boy and he passed away. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam objected, what you are doing? Then after that, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him that this boy, Allah Ta'ala granted him to his parents, but the parents would have been overtaken with his beauty also, and whatever he demanded, they would have got overtaken with that they will even lose their iman. So to protect their iman, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, rather sacrifice his life, and Allah Ta'ala gave them something better in return. So iman is more valuable than our life, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ma kunta tadrim al kitab wal al iman walakin ja'alnahu nuran nahdi bi man nasha'u min ibadina. That, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before you were granted nabuwat, as Allah ta'ala explained, that the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was free from all types of shirk, association of any type of partners with Allah ta'ala from childhood days. And like Allah Ta'ala has mentioned with regard to the honor of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And very, very important to understand here that we should understand and learn Quran Sharif from the learned pious scholars, the ulama-i kiram. On our own, if we try to understand Quran Sharif, or you go on to Google on the internet, then we'll make such a grave error to translate this ayat, this word, as it normally means, Dalan, people that are gone astray. With Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no concept. You can't even use such a word with regard to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, what it meant in the early days when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw people so involved in idol worship, grew up in such an environment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was restless. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking for a way out, fahada. Then Allah Ta'ala says, you didn't know about Iman. You didn't know about the Kitab, the message of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We put this noor in your heart. So Qur'an-i Kareem and Iman is not just words. Qur'an-i Kareem and Iman is the reality of it is noor. And the place of noor is the heart. The place of noor is not the tongue. The place of noor is the heart. And Allah Ta'ala's system is that noor penetrates from heart to heart. By just reading kitabs, by just reading the kalima alone, that noor, to a certain extent, inshallah, there will be benefit. But that noor will only penetrate the heart when it comes from the heart that has got that noor. And that is why the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Iman, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala said, and many times we must understand the statement, that ta'allamna al-Iman, summa ta'allamna al-Quran. We learned Iman, where they learned Iman? In the sohbat, in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sohbat and the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a person sits without realizing that noor penetrates your heart. And if you sit with an open heart, like our Shaykh explained, whenever we come to the majlis of our Shaykh, even whatever ayat Hazrat quotes or whatever incident he mentions, even if you heard it 100 times, but just imagine, clear your mind, it's the first time you're hearing it. And every time you do that, you'll see you learn a new lesson. And the benefit of it will increase in our heart. So if a person comes with an open mind to the majlis of the mashayikh, to the majlis of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every time the noor of Iman will increase. And this is the conviction, and that is why we see our elders remind us all the time that look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Despite that noor of Iman penetrated the heart, still Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remind them every year the month of Safar comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remind them that clear your mind and clear your heart of all type of wrong beliefs. And we see our mashayikh, they will keep on reminding us why. Because this Iman, it takes a whole life. And not only one life, we need thousands of lives. Our elders, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who was Shaykhul Mashayikh, who was the Shaykh of so great, great personalities, great, great ulama of Dioband, who are embodiments and stalwarts of knowledge and of taqwa, yet they went to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. For what? To get that noor of Iman. And yet Hazrat used to make dua in sajda that, Ya Allah, maut na aajai jab tak te raze tohid se aga na hoja. That, Ya Allah, don't let me leave this world till I get the reality and the secret of your oneness, it penetrates my heart. In other words, I understand what is tohid all about. Tawheed is not just a matter of La ilaha illallah, just reciting it as Mawlana explained now also, that to understand the Tawheed, we need the company of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that has come down along the line. In today's time, we need the company of our pious elders. Otherwise, we are living in such a time where we see it clearly. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it 1400 years ago. So today, how much we must be hastening towards Badiru bil amali salihah, run towards doing good deeds. Today, sadly, myself, all of us, we must think, we are running in which direction? In the total opposite direction. We are running to make sure I get the first ticket booked for the World Cup, the first ticket for this match. I'm first in this show, at that show, and for salah. And sadly, even in salah, we come for salah, but we'll be pushing the next person front of the first serve. But in the other place, on the sports ground, then I make sure I won the grandstand, the highest place. Whereas if we only knew this reality, then like Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the swords will come out. Today firearms will come out. That, no, this is my place. We'll be eager to go close and make, as soon as possible, come into the masjid. Even azan, before azan. Today azan is gone, we are talking. After azan, we are still talking. And sadly today, the iqama starts and we are still talking. which is a sad condition of reflecting myself, and we all should look at our own condition. I am not giving a bayan, I'm making muzakara for myself and all of us, so it can help me and all of us. So, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us, and this warning, what the Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, like the warnings that Allah Rabbul Izzah gives in the Qur'an Kareem, that is a warning full of love. It's full of love. It's not a warning to scare a person. It's not a warning to make a person go away. It's a warning of love. Like a father who loves his children, that he will tell them, do this, do that. And like Hazrat explained so beautifully, like what is salah? What is meant that the punishment of salah? That salah itself, there is so lot benefit in there. It's like a father who has given his children, his cottage. Allah Ta'ala gave him a huge empire. And he gave his children in his lifetime, he gave them so much, he set all of them up, where he's got 8-10 children. Then now you see, now he's coming towards the end of his life, he's still got so much left in his account, etc. So he called them all, and he said that this weekend you all must come, because I still want to give you all more. In other words, he's calling them to give them now the balance that is there, and it's quite a bit. And then he tells them that if you don't come, then I'll get so upset with you, I won't give you anything. And even that what I gave you, maybe I'll even take it back. So that is exactly the warnings that Allah Ta'ala has given us with regard to salah. That one hukubi we will stay in Jahannam. Allah, we haven't understood. One hukub is over 80 years. And 1 year in the year after is not like our 1 year. 1 day in the year after is not like our 1 day. 1 day of the year after, kana migdaru alfa sana, 1,000 years, 1 day. So all the computers of the world put together will crash to work out just for one salah, how long a person will stay in the fire of Jannah. In other words, there is so lot benefit and still you not coming, then what is wrong with you? And that is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us 1400 years ago, badiru bil amali saliha, run towards doing good deeds, fasatakuna fitanun faqit'il laylil muslima, such fitnas will be coming upon the ummah like the darkest portion of the darkest night. The night is so dark also, you can't see, and in that night you get a dark portion where it's very dark, you can't see anything. So like that, the fitnas will be pouring. And today we see anything about deen, we say, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with this? What's wrong if I wear bermudas? What's wrong if I don't wear topi? If I don't read my namaz now, what's wrong? I'll read it later. All this, what's wrong? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that the danger of this is, if we don't run towards good deeds, then Allahu Akbar, yusbihu rajulu mu'minu wa yumsi kafira. Wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira. That in the morning you get up in the state of iman. Before you know to, you go to bed, your iman is lost. With all these statements that what's wrong, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema rahmatullahi alayhi on one occasion explained in one bayan that he used to go out sometimes to go and make chanda to collection for the darloom in the early days. So one elderly person also used to go with him, and he was a close friend of Mawlana. But Hazrat says, sometimes these people utter words, they don't even realize that that word has taken them out of the fold of Islam. He says, the same friend of mine used to travel with me. One day while traveling, he says, Mawlana, I don't know why Allah Ta'ala made interest haram. It's so beneficial. Hazrat says, Allahu Akbar. Just to say something haram is beneficial, your iman is gone. And just to say, I don't know why, how can we understand where all the wisdom of the world, and we don't have wisdom, where all the intelligence of mankind comes to an end, that's where Allah Ta'ala's hikmat only starts. So, and the sign of reality and intelligence is, it's Allah's command. There's only goodness in there for me. I must just accept it. But it's not easy till we don't have this company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, كُونُوا مَأَصْطَادِقِينَ. And we hear this ayat over and over, that Allah says, be with the pious servants. Allah didn't even say listen to their bayan. Just being there because of their connection with Allah. Allah's rahmat is descending. Allah's nur is descending in their heart. So you will get the effects of it. And if you open your heart, you'll get even more effect of it. If we come with that intention, as our Hazrat says, we don't just come as a routine. You come as a routine, you'll still get some splashes. But when you come with an intention, that no, I want that nur of iman, that firm conviction must penetrate my heart. And it will only come from the heart of those people who got yaqeen, who got that firm conviction. And like Allah Ta'ala said, kunu ma sadiqeen. Allah is telling us in the other ayat, who are the sadiqeen? Innama al-mu'minun alladhina amanu billahi wa rasuli. Those people who bring firm iman in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma lam yartabu. Then they don't have any doubt whatsoever. They know with firm conviction, this is the only way of my success. Whether it's matters of dunya outwardly, and if our matters of dunya also, if we make the intention for deen, for example, we learn a person who sleeps with the intention of gaining strength, that I can make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah for the highest reward, he'll get so high reward. So your sleeping, which outwardly looks like dunya, it will become deen. Our eating will become deen. So that there must be no doubt whatsoever. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. And to increase this iman and to increase this yaqeen, a person has to keep on striving. But whatever Allah Ta'ala has given us, our health, our wealth, etc. And what is the striving? The striving, ulama have explained, اِخْتَارُ الْمُشَقَّةَ فِي امْتِثَارِ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ. That to go through difficulty to obey Allah's commands. And in the start it will be a little difficult. Like to get up a fajr in the start, it will be difficult. But once it's part of your life, you can't live. You just maybe were very tired. You came from a long journey. You hardly slept half an hour and you'll be up for fajr again. In fact, you won't able to sleep. I mustn't miss my fajr salah. So to make that mujahada, to make that effort to obey Allah's command. And اختار المشقة عن اجتناب محارم الله. And a person makes a sincere effort to stay away from those things Allah has made haram. Like a person today, if you see your small child that is going towards the fire or is taking some paraffin and he wants to drink it, how the mother will pull it away with force. How your mother will pull the child away from the heater, etc. But sadly, those things will maybe just cause the child harm in dunya for a little while. Those things that are causing us harm in dunya and akhirat, we are giving our children that today. The PlayStation, the cell phones, the type of clothes we are giving our children, that today we can't even make out the difference between a Muslim child and a non-Muslim child. We can't make out the difference who we are. And that is what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that time will come in my ummah that لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ. Nothing will be left of Islam, just beautiful names. Ahmad, Muhammad, Abdul Rahman, Amina, Fatima. Beautiful names. But if we see us on the street, we won't know is this Ahmad or is this somebody else. Is this Amina or who is this? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize that Allah has given us this great gift of iman. And iman is something we have to look after. And we have to build in our heart. Because if a person doesn't realize this, and the reality opens when it's too late, Allah Ta'ala save us. That, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَهْدِهِمْ مِلُوا الْأَرْضِ ذَابًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَابِ. People who don't believe in Allah, and the harm of disbelief, and the harm of sin, is such that it starts making the heart more hard, and more hard. And that is why, like Hazrat explains, that in today's time you talk to the youngsters, it doesn't just make sense to them. Because the harm of sin is, you lose your intelligence also. You can't think. We see today so many so-called professors, but are worshipping idols, and the wrong part. So we should be grateful to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And one way of protecting this iman is to make shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And to make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. And then Allah Ta'ala has commanded, be with the true pious servants of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, so that your iman doesn't wither away. And your iman does not become doubtful. Today there are so many doubts, and that is why we see over and over our mashayikh, and this was the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to keep on reminding us on the same lessons. And yet we see, last year we heard this lesson about safar. How much did I think about it? And it doesn't mean only in the time of safar we think of this, because the whole year now, all the superstitious beliefs, all these wrong things penetrate the heart today. And today so many things are just spoken and we take it for granted. Allahu Akbar. Today the one great aqeedah that we have to believe in is with regard to punishment in the qabr. Today that is how many of us have got doubt that is it there, it's not there. It is absolutely true and it is the definite that there is punishment in the qabr. And that is why Allahu Akbar, on one occasion, a Jewish lady came to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, you know, requesting for something. Hazrat Aisha, you know, gave her, then she made dua, Allah save you from the punishment of the qabr. First time Hazrat Aisha, you know, heard this, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, she asked, told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, definitely there is punishment in the qabr. And then to tease the ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make dua after every namaz, that Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min azabil qabr. Today myself, all of us, let us just ponder and think, do I make dua that Allah save me from the punishment of the qabr? And like Hazrat says, today my sad condition is, forget making dua for myself. The person we put in the qabr at that time, today, instead of being worried, let Allahumma sabbitu bil qawli sabit. Allah keep him firm with that firm word. If that word, that is the kalima, had penetrated our heart, then the person will be firm in the qabr. If it didn't penetrate my heart, then like Hazrat says, like a parrot, I read my kalima, I know my kalima is of my heart also. But if it didn't come in my heart, then what is in my heart, that sound will come out on the day of Qiyamah. In the qabr, that sound will come out. And like a parrot, you teach out today, many people like to, they feel happy and then even boast, see my parrot makes zikr, my parrot makes salam, everything. But let that parrot come in the clutches of the cat, then see what sound will come out. Whether zikr will come out or teh, that original sound. So Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, all of us, that we come here and we beg Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, let that iman penetrate my heart. And I don't have any type of doubt. And then we don't think that it's iman, I'm a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala says, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَسْلَمُ. That people who come to the majlis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and accept Islam also, then they make ihsan jatlana that we have increased the figures of the Muslims and we accepted Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, never ever, kulla tamunnu alayya islamakum, bali lau yamunnu alaykum an hadakum. That never ever have this attitude that I am a Muslim, I am better than the next person. It is Allah's kindness that Allah has given us and Allah's ihsan upon us. So we have to make dua that Allah keep us firm on iman, our children firm on iman, and we learn the lesson in the Quran Kareem, how to keep ourselves and our children firm. Allah commands, that means you command your children, do this. Then, today you say everybody wants freedom of choice. Okay, today you can't tell your children what to do, give them their free choice. But teach them which choice to make, command them, make this choice. Then if they make the wrong choice, then exactly the same. Allah Ta'ala says, La ikraha fid deen. There's no force in deen. But Allah has commanded us that bring iman. Make the choice. Now if you make the wrong choice and you go in the wrong direction, then وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Don't blame that Allah Ta'ala is punishing us. It is our own wrong thing, actions. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Particularly this month of Safar, we correct our iman and we bring strengthen our aqeedah, and that is why we have to keep contact with the ulama-i-kiram and learn our aqeedah and see how Allah Akbar, the foundation, our maktab, we think it was just a elementary this thing. But our asatiza in that time taught us our five kalimas. Then iman im mujmal, iman im mufassal. That time we just rattled it off. But now we should read it every morning, every night with little consciousness that I am repeating these words to strengthen my iman that was taught by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I bring that iman that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us iman. And oh Allah, keep my iman firm. So Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding that we come here to strengthen our iman and build us contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we leave this world, then Allah ta'ala says, that person who made an effort on his iman, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ ثَابَتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Our Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman explained that this is one of the ayats Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has brought in his chapter with regard to punishment of the qabr. To explain that the punishment of the qabr, ya akhirat, is referring to barzakh. It's not referring to after barzakh. That time whether you're going to Jannat and Jahannam. Normally we say the qabr, but actually the part after you leave this world until you reach the day of Qiyamah, that is known as barzakh. Whether you were even drowned in the ocean or whatever, they can't get your body, but now you've gone into barzakh. So Allah will keep you firm if you remained firm on the kalima while you were alive, you made this effort. Then Allah will keep you firm in dunya also. And when you go into the qabr, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us to pass our exams. And then what enjoyment there in the qabr already. And the other stages will be very, very easy. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhir da'wana.